Good morning and welcome to Old Lion, Young Lion, the greatest show on the airwaves. Let me tell you, the greatest quote-unquote theological show. You'll understand that in just a minute here. My name is Anthony Stafford. I'm here with my co-host Samuel Hazelton, and we are Old Lion, Young Lion. If you missed us, we've been off for a couple of weeks tending to our families in the holiday season, also digging out our cars from 18 feet of snow here in the upstate, northeastern New York part of the country. I want to say thank you to all those that have reached out to us to see where we've been and how we've been doing, but we are back, baby, and Old Lion, Young Lion, and we are pastors, Sam and I, Old Lion and Young Lion here. We are pastors of Electric City Baptist Church, and we meet every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. where we open up the Word of God, we declare the truths from God's Word, and we sing praises to the King of Kings. There's been an update to our church over the past few months. We planted a new church in a place called Troy, New York, called Refuge City Bible Church. And watch out, New York, we plan on planting a few more churches as well. Now, you might ask, what is this radio show all about? This show exists so that we might dig deep into the scriptures and declare the truth of God's word as best as we know how. The Bible says that the righteous are bold as lions, and we intend to be bold on this show. Now, before we even get into our regularly scheduled program here today, we need to make sure that we take a break and shout out today's sponsor. And so if you are in the Northeast, you know about plumbing and all kinds of heating issues. And so we want to shout out our sponsor is Daniel Forney. Daniel Forney is the owner of Woodhaven Mechanical. And if you ever need anything in regards to heating, cooling, or plumbing, you call Woodhaven Mechanical and see Dan Forney. Dan Forney, thank you for supporting today's episode. Now, before we jump into the subject of today's episode, Old Lion, in like manner, as our tradition is, could you please bless our show with a word of prayer?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to get back here on the air. It's exciting to be here in the Lion's Den. Father, I ask today as we open up the Word of God, as we dig into these topics that are necessary for life and godliness, I pray, Father, that our listeners would be encouraged, blessed, and challenged today to dig deeper. And Father, in the name of Jesus, be with us today, be with our mouths, and bless every word of conversation today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm excited about today's topic and today's episode. We're going to change gears for the foreseeable future. And so, Old Lion, why don't you give the listeners a little bit of insight where we've been the last month or two? We've been kind of resetting and kind of what we kind of see happening over the next month or two. And then give us just a spicy little tidbit about what today's episode is going to be about.
Okay, well, we've been off for a couple of weeks, and we have replayed some important messages over the last couple of weeks, including a series on the creation according to the Bible, as well as the new birth, really, which is the new creation. The Bible says this, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Today, we are going to kick off an 11 or 12 week series. Might not go that long, but
we'll see.
It'll be 11 or 12 sections on this, but we're calling it The Ologies.
The Ologies. I like that.
And it is a play on words for the term theology. Theology, and we're going to define that, and we're going to get into some of the different ologies that have grown up around the study of God over the years.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I'm excited to even talk about that today. You may have found yourself studying God's word or talking with somebody at a church service or even jumping on an online forum. And this idea of theology has kind of entered into the chat, has entered into your thought process. Throughout scripture, we find some passages where it says, you need to go and learn of Christ. You have not so learned Christ. We see prominent Bible passages like 2 Timothy 2:15 that says that you ought to study to show yourself approved unto God. So we see kind of not only in Christian culture this theological thing, but we also see in Scripture that we ought to get to know God. And so that brings us to today's topic, the theology or theologies or the theological thing. So what is this theology? So Sam, give us a little tidbit about what today's episode we're going to be kind of discussing. What is this topic that seems to happen in backs of churches and in Bible studies, this thing called theology? How can we understand this?
Okay, so there's really a strict definition of this word coming etymologically. It means,
okay.
It's broken into two words. It's theo, which means God. That's theo is Greek for God, and ology, which is study.
Now, you guys should know, usually we have old line breaking down the underlying Greek text. Now, this is just a Greek word. It has nothing to do about the Greek text of the Bible. He's now just teaching you a Greek lesson. So go ahead and tell us more about this breakdown of the etymology of the word theology.
All right. And so the strict definition of this theology is simply, it's the study of God.
Mm.
However, we also have a sort of working definition that has maybe been twisted a little bit among Christian people, is this idea that theology is a position. Maybe what your theology, quote-unquote theology, is your position on a particular controversial topic.
Right. So you say, like, what's your theology about this particular subject?
Right.
Or what do you believe about it?
Yes.
Okay. So, and maybe you might be familiar with a more biblical term. And, you know, Young Lion might jump on this microphone and yell about some Bible subject multiple times through all of our episodes. But we're trying to deal specifically with theology and the theologies of the Bible. You might also hear someone use the term doctrine. Now, we're not getting into doctrine. Doctrine just means teaching. It doesn't mean the study of, though we might address throughout all of our ologies over the next couple of months some doctrine in the Bible. Doctrine is, what does the Bible explicitly teach, word for word, what does the Bible teach? And it has all kinds of things, but theology is a study of a particular subject. And so I think that's what you mean by a person's position or a person's faith position. So kind of delineate out the two of those things for us again. Theology understood as, what does the Bible say, versus someone's particular position.
If you're a believer in God, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are by definition a theologian. You're somebody who is studying God.
Okay, nice.
And so we all should be in that position. We think of theologians as these guys with thick spectacles and funny clothes and funny hats and funny shoes. But in reality, we should all be studying God. It says in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, that let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the God who practices steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, says the Lord.
I love this. And so I think that's so strong that we, all of our positions and what we understand about theology is going to be rooted in the revelation of God. And so why don't you give us a quick list? Because when we think of theology, there's the positions versus the study of God. And so what are, and folks, I want you to pay attention to this. We're calling it theologies. And so we put together a list of some of the known theologies that men study, that they strive to know, that they want to understand. And we're going to be going through these ologies over the next month or two. And so let's go over some of that list. Before we start breaking down theology as we understand it, the study of God, let's look at the particular theologies, some positions of faith that you can be in. And so what are some on that list we have of our ologies? What do we got here, Old Lion?
So we're going to kick it off next week with what I think is the king of all the ologies, which is what we call bibliology. In other words, this is the understanding of what is the Bible. And the reason I put that at the top is because everything we know about God, everything that we can state with definitive clarity, comes from the Word of God.
Funny enough that you bibliology is your king of the theologies. The once famous, if you've heard of this man, Thomas Aquinas, said that theology is the queen of all the sciences. So theology being the queen of all the sciences, you have bibliology as the king of all the theologies.
There you go.
Okay. The king of all the queens. Okay, I like this. Go ahead.
So the second one will be what we call theology proper.
Okay.
And this is a specific, more narrow focus on theology, which is understanding who is God, what is the nature of God, and we'll get into that in the third week. And then the next one is a cousin to that, which is Christology.
One of my favorites.
Who is Jesus Christ? Who is this mysterious God-man? Mm. And what is the nature of his existence?
And you know, we always do a radio show pause break when we talk about Jesus. Just so we're clear, Jesus is God. Okay, we'll get to that in a couple episodes. Go ahead, number four.
All right, the next one we'll do in week five is pneumatology.
One of Old Lion's favorites.
Pneuma is simply the Greek word for spirit. And so this is understanding the Holy Spirit and who he is and how he works. Mm. Week six, we will be studying one called soteriology.
Young Lion's favorites. Okay.
Young Lion's favorite, which is the study of our salvation and the doctrines associated with our salvation. Week seven, we'll hit hamartiology.
One of Old Lion's favorites.
Another Greek word, which is the understanding of sin. How does sin operate in human beings? How does God's plan address the problem of sin? And then we get to week eight, we're going to be covering anthropology.
Both mutual on this one. Go ahead.
Anthropology is the study of man. Yeah. What is man made up of? Of what do we consist? What is our origin? What is our destiny? Mm. And then in week nine, we're going to be tackling ecclesiology.
Another one of Sam's favorites.
And by the way, most of these words, I think almost all of these words, are Greek words.
Oh, we'll have to come back to that when we understand why all the studies have come from Greece. Go ahead.
So ecclesiology is the study of the church.
Yeah,
what is this beautiful bride of Christ? Week 10, we'll be hitting something called eschatology.
All the listeners' favorites.
Yes, this is the study of the final things, the end times. And then finally, in week 11, it's kind of a bonus episode.
Bonus.
We are going to be studying angelology, the origin and the nature of angels, the origin and nature of demons, good and bad angels, Satan. So we're going to cover that spiritual topic in week 11, and we'll wrap this whole thing up. We'll be done in 3 months.
I think people will be excited about these episodes, and I think there'll be a legacy that we'll be able to leave in podcast form for the rest of our lives on a study of these ologies. And sometimes you might spend 10 years in a church and not go over all of these. And so, and we're not saying that's wrong. We sometimes even stand in opposition of some theologies that are out there, and we're not always in favor of maybe what the church at large believes. Our show, as you know, consists of two lions that want to dig out the truth of Scripture and proclaim it boldly, and sometimes that stands against a particular person's theology. And so, but if you want to hear the studies of these subjects, and not merely what they're presumed to teach or presumed to be shown in the Bible, what the Bible actually says about them, then you're going to want to tune into these shows. You're going to want to be a part of this. If you want to get a good grasp of a biblical understanding of all of these subjects, this is going to be the series for you. So let's come back to this understanding of theology, the studying God. Who is God? Not all the attributes necessarily of God, but all the things that God is doing and working in this realm and this world that we live in. And then what does the Bible reveal to us about this God and who we are in this world and truth as a whole? Sam and I have kind of broken down theology into two things. Now, again, I set aside doctrine for this conversation. Sometimes people use biblical theology and doctrine interchangeably. Maybe we'll address that in the bibliology show. But what we have with understanding theology or the study of God is in two ways. We see it as a systematic theology in one way, and we also see it as a biblical theology. These two things are kind of not necessarily at odds, but they're two understandings of how we ought to study and understand theology. Now, I have to admit, there are a lot of times that I've done studying through Scripture where I get frustrated with a thing called systematic theology. So I'm going to lay aside some of my biases for these episodes so that I might learn something as well. But I want you to understand this before I kind of hand this back to Old Lion to give us some structure going forward for the rest of this episode. I want you to understand that systematic theology, it deals with examining what is a faith position of a person or church, and it primarily deals with logic in nature. If this, then this. That's an understanding of systematic theology. It also categorizes faith positions throughout the Bible and helps you kind of understand them in a systematic, categorized way. Biblical theology deals with what does the Bible exactly say? And it primarily deals with literary in nature or literature in nature, word for word understanding what the Bible says. So some might say that they work at odds. It seems to me, as we've been talking about this subject on the episode, that a lot of times these are working in conjunction with each other. So there's two ways to understand theology. There's biblical theology and systematic theology. They can be at odds, but they are not always at odds, and they can be used hand in hand. Give us a thought on these two streams of theology.
One way to think about theology, it's really an interpretation of what the Bible says. And so you have on the one extreme, you mentioned it, the systematic theology, and there's some pros and cons to that. What this is, this idea of systematic theology, it is man's attempt to take the truths of the Bible as they interpret them and to organize them into a framework that people can easily digest and understand. It's like a filing system for the truths of the Scripture, which seem to come in more of a fluid way. It's taking these fluid truths of the Bible and it's constructing a systematic, logical framework where it's easy for people to kind of get that whole thing inside their heads. And there's pros and cons with this. The pros means it's easy for people to learn the important things of the faith.
Yeah, you can kind of start out with the capital A important things of the faith. So yes. That seems good on its face.
Yes.
So keep going with your pros and cons.
The negatives here is what happens, what people will do is they'll take this systematic theology, this rigid framework that has been developed by men, and then it subtly comes to become either equal to or in supremacy over the actual Bible that it came from.
Well, yeah, that kind of makes sense, because if a tool begins to be useful, people use it a little maybe more often than they should, forgetting that their systematic theology or their systematic understanding of the Bible is rooted in what the Bible says. So it can't end up being the authority. The Bible always has to maintain its authority over any systematic theology. So, okay, how do you wrestle with that? I don't know if you had a little more on your list, but how do you wrestle with that idea?
With that idea, what I do is suggest to people, look, never rely on systematic theology to make your arguments. Always go to the source, and you may arrive at the same conclusions that somebody else came up with that they put in packaged in their nice little package, but you need to be somebody who goes to the book. You need to be able to dig through and answer those questions on your own. I kind of liken it to math class. I remember in 10th grade math class, we had to do all these geometric proofs to prove these things that seemed intuitively obvious to the casual observer. We had to use logic and postulates and theorems to actually demonstrate these things were true. And our math teacher famously said, no diagrams, no credit.
Right. Show the work.
You've got to actually dig in and do your work. So you need to become a student of God, a student of the Bible.
Well, I love what you said to start the show out, that every one of us is a theologian. And there's an old phrase that says that your theology determines your doxology. What that means is that what you believe about God, or your faith position about the subject of God and his truth, what you believe about that determines how you worship God. If you believe that God is some distant, lightning bolt throwing, judging school principal, then the way that you're going to approach and understand him in your practical life is going to be a certain way. If you believe that God is a hippie man that showed up to kind of surf and kumbaya around a campfire, then the way that you worship and interact with God is going to be a particular way. This is why your theology matters. Now, it has to be based on the Bible, no doubt. This is why, even in my own voice, you can hear right now me wrestling with this understanding. My belief position, and then my explicit understanding about what the Bible says. They have to be in tune with one another, but it helps for me to have positions that I believe in, because then I could worship God in accordance with those beliefs. But my beliefs have to be in accordance with the Bible, because the God of this world is revealed to us in the Holy Scripture. So when I find someone that believes something about God that's not in accordance with the Scripture, I can also find out that they're probably worshiping him or practicing their faith in an incorrect way. Sorry to interject there,
but
I wanted to put that out there, that you're all theologians, so you best get your theology, the position of your understanding about what you believe, you best get it correct. Okay, did you have any more things on that list?
I did. That was the one side, the systematic
side.
And the risk of that is it becomes something that is strictly a function of human reasoning. You get so wrapped up in that little world that you cut yourself off from spiritual revelation from God himself. So this is another reason why theology is so important, because there are, and this is one of Young Lion's famous words that he coined, he calls them theoliars.
Beware the theoliars.
And so there's people who are opposed to the truth, who will create these doctrines of men, and we would say doctrines of devils, that are contrary to the truth. And it's important to have a strong basis in true biblical theology in order to counteract or refute those who would oppose the truth about God.
And I think this is a very important, and Old Lion and I, as pastors of a local church, have had to encounter this as we guide and shepherd people in their lives through their faith. The Apostle Paul warns us as he leaves this church that's starting in Jerusalem. He gives them a warning before he leaves and says, beware, as soon as I leave this place, there's going to be wolves that are going to come in and attack the sheep. You need to, as elders and pastors of the church, protect against these wolves. And primarily what the wolves do is not come in and kill anybody. What they come in and do is they bring lies, they bring falsehoods, they take captive people whose faith is not strong and teach them things that are not true. So why systematic theology can be beneficial is because it helps us defeat the heretic. Here's the problem before you move on, is that systematic theology pushes out heretics. No doubt. On one side, it does do that. On the other side, a systematic theology can push out the very Lord Jesus Christ from our community as well. So systematic theology can be used inappropriately and appropriately to push out heretics, but also to excommunicate God from your very own faith and practice.
Wow.
Did you have any other thoughts about the systematic side, Old Lion?
Yeah, the last one I would say is, and we're going to learn more about this next week, but we rest everything that we believe, everything that we stake our lives upon, our souls upon, the Word of God, the Bible. I can go to the library and I can get a book of systematic theology that's actually thicker than my Bible.
Right, right. And 100 of them.
But I'm telling you right now, you can set all those aside. I would much rather just have one Bible and get to know that Bible, read that Bible, and most importantly, get a relationship with the God who wrote it, who by his Spirit helps me to interpret that Bible.
Well, we saw that in the Old Testament saying that the mighty men forget their might. What they need to is know God. But Paul gives us a warning. He's not necessarily saying that no extra biblical sites can be used in your faith. As a matter of fact, if you use some kind of prayer schedule or Bible devotion, these things are fine, but we need to be careful. Paul gives us a very strong warning, and you might have never even read this. It's in 1 Corinthians 4. So, Sam, give us the warning that Paul gives, why it's so important that all of your systematic theology, what you believe about God as a system of your faith, why it needs to be in subjection to the Word of God.
One of my favorite verses in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 4:6, he says, I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written.
So what is he getting at here? This is a strong passage. Don't go beyond what is written. What does this mean?
Think of yourself in an ocean.
Okay. Hey, you know what? It's not that hard to do. I'm from Southern California. I'm imagining right now some tacos, a surfboard, me and my kids making sandcastles. Okay, I'm in the ocean. Go ahead.
Well, there's rocks out there. There's islands. What the Bible does is it provides a safe boundary for us, and we can freely float around throughout that entire ocean safely, but we need to stay within the parameters that the Bible lays out in terms of truth. You start getting outside of that, now you're going to get shipwrecked.
Yeah, and like I said, there can be some ideas. You should kind of explore. The Bible wants you to be creative, but the anchor of the scripture kind of holds you in a great life construct of how you ought to view and see God. Each and every one of you, as Sam said earlier, that's studying the Bible should consider yourself a theologian, but be careful not to mix it up with systematic theology. So Sam, you've talked a little bit about the importance of scriptural and biblical theology. How does one kind of start to begin understanding. See, if I pick up a systematic theology book, a guy's written it so that I can chew it. A guy's written it so that I can kind of understand it. It's even easy to read. Sometimes it's even likable. Even in my spirit, I enjoy the things that they're saying. When it starts to come to the Bible, if I turn to the book of Leviticus, I might not understand what's happening there. Mm. If I'm going to biblical theology, if you're going to be an advocate for me to start just going from the Bible being the authority, the thing's 1,200 pages. So give us a little insight. How would I begin my journey to becoming a Bible student or studying God through his revealed word? And then secondly, are there additional things that reveal God outside of the Bible that aren't in books? Is there nature? Is there the Holy Spirit experiences? Tell us first some tips about beginning my theological prowess in the Bible. And then also, are there any other ways that God's revealed himself that I can count on?
Well, first of all, let me just say there's no substitute for just reading the Bible.
Okay.
It's something, and it's going to take you a while. I remember when I first became a believer in Christ back in 1983, I devoured this thing. I was reading about 50 chapters a day. I wanted to get through
this. Take it easy, guy. Take it easy. Okay, go ahead.
This book as fast as I possibly could to absorb that information. And it wasn't till, in some cases, not till my second, third trip through the Bible till I really started to piece these things together in my mind. There's a lot of knowledge in there. So where a theological guideline can come in and help you identify the big rocks.
Okay.
There's a lot of little stories in the Bible. And if you understand the big rocks, it helps to kind of put these stories into, like, one of the things that helped me as a new reader of the Old Testament, I had a friend of mine who just basically explained to me that the Old Testament is just a story of one disappointment after another.
Okay.
As the people of God,
I see that,
struggled with something broken within them to try to follow the law of God. God had to bring, he promised to bring a new covenant, not because there was something wrong with the first covenant, but because there was something wrong with the people.
Mm.
And so he brought a new covenant in which he would write his laws on their hearts and write them on their minds, that they would all know God from the least of them to the greatest. And so this new covenant was promised. So if you read the Old Testament, understanding this idea that the whole thing is about promising this upcoming new covenant, that gives you a framework to read some of these kind of heartbreaking stories.
I think we'll touch a little bit on this when we get to the bibliology episode. Can you give us a 30-second or less tidbit on some extra biblical revelation from God that can help us understand and the way that we can know him? We obviously know that just fact-checking God with the Bible or fact-checking God with a systematic theological book is not the only way to know him. And matter of fact, you can know everything in the whole Bible and still not know God. Mm. And so why don't you give us just a quick tidbit of, as the people begin their journey of becoming theologians, me first convincing them here on this episode that they ought to be one, and step two, going to the Word of God to start to understand him, is there an additional feature they should understand about their Christianity whereby they can get some introduction to the Almighty God?
Absolutely. And I love this passage in 1 John chapter 2, and in verse 20 it says, if you're a believer in Christ, it says this, you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. And then in verse 27, a little further down, it says, but the anointing that you have received from him, and this is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that every Christian has received from God, the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you.
Mm.
But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And I want you to know, if you're coming to the Bible with an open heart and a believing heart, and you have been anointed by the Holy One, he is going to lead you into all truth. I call it the Holy Ghost highlighter. You're reading along, and he will just bring a passage or a verse to your mind and heart, and oftentimes give you a special understanding of that you hadn't seen before. This is the best way to learn about God and learn about the Scripture, is directly from the author himself, the Holy Spirit.
Obviously, he blesses you with brothers in the church, and he'll bring people across your paths that kind of help you, point you in the right direction. We need to clarify this last thing. We use this term called theoliars. This is not to knock anybody down, but it's to recognize that men fail and God doesn't. Let every man be a liar and let God be true. Watch out for theoliars that would direct you away from God's truth and opposed to their own understanding, their own preferences. But with that being said, you are a theologian. Knowing and telling people about God demands that you're a theologian and a student of the Bible. But you must remember 1 Corinthians 4:6. You cannot, you must not, you must be called away from going above that which is written. Now, we're not a show that dives into sports, and we're not a show that jumps into the fashion world. We don't really get into politics that much on this show. We're a show that dives into the Bible. We see what the Bible says about particular things, and we proclaim it boldly. We hope that you'll stick with us on theologies over the next couple of months. We pray that this season ends in a great way on Old Lion, Young Lion, that the Lion's Den is going to be blessed by God and get to many ears that need it. We hope that you'll stick with us, and God bless.
And we'll see you in church.